कुंज बिहारिया जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज चर्य सुतर सुत श्री श्रीमद इंग्रेस ऐसी भक्तिवेदंत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज चर्य सुतर सुत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सदंत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचरेशल हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से गौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाश्री गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन धाम की नवद्वीप मायपुर धाम की गंगा मई की यमुना मई की भक्ति देव की तुलसी देव की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की बृहत मृदंग की समबेरा भक्त वृंद की glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishnupadaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine And one more time. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishnapisaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyava Pastachari Satarine Jai Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ओम अज्ञानत मरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki. Today we're looking at Canto 7 from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's chapter 4 entitled Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, and it's text 40. Nadati quachit utkanto vilajo nrityati quachit quachit tad bhavana yuktas tanmayo nuchakara ha Nadati quachit utkanto Vilajo nrityati quachit Quachit tad bhavana yuktas Mayonu charkaraha Nadati quachit utkanto Vilajo nrityati quachit Quachit tad bhavana yuktas tanmayonu chakaraha चित्त भावना युक्तस Vaishnavis. नृत्यति क्वचित् क्वचित् तत् भावना युक्तस् तन्मयोनुच्चकारः नदति exclaims loudly addressing the Lord, O Krishna क्वचित् sometimes utkantaha being anxious vilajjaha without shame nrityati he dances kvachit sometimes kvachit sometimes tat bhavana with thoughts of Krishna yuktaha being absorbed tatmayaha thinking as if he had become Krishna anuchakara imitated ha indeed translation sometimes upon seeing the supreme personality of Godhead Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy, and sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So please repeat. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I might charade out some of this. Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully Give me a jubilant. Sometimes thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's past times. Doing good. And in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman. But one must go still further to realize Paramatma and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry. Nadati. Again, like Prahlad, sometimes sees that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child, saying, "My dear child, do not cry. I am coming." Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to thinking, "Here is my Lord. My Lord is coming." Thus the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as a coward boy used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. Thank you, period. Thank you for helping. Okay, so this verse was chosen because we are all in the spirit and the mood of chanting and dancing with the instigation of the Mela, Kirtan Mela. And in this very special place of Mayapur Dham. And this very special place, which like in our GBC meetings, it's okay to leak out this information, it's okay. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about how it's the capital of Kirtan. That's what it is on the globe, capital of Kirtan. And this is also the birthplace of the king of Kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the master of mantras, mantra master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not everybody knows that yet, but the world will know. And this beautiful building structure which is before us will give a lot of attention to this great personality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and it's also, the onus is on us to popularize kirtan, to popularize Sri Chaitanya. It was Satyaraj in his latest book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mentioning how that even in India, very few people are quite aware of who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many people know the latest Bollywood stars, but very few people know who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, the responsibility lies on our laps to make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu known throughout the world. So let's talk a little bit about Kirtan. And you know, it, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the person who really brought it to the fore, Kirtan, and popularized it, being the Yuga avatar for Kirtan. But it was Kirtan is an old thing. It's as old as you can imagine. And it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, let's say it's not totally his birthright, I guess you could say. But other saints, devotees, also can be glorified for popularizing Kirtan. And that's stated right here in this verse by Prahlad Maharaj, who was expressing his appealing to the Lord. As it is said in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, satatang kirtayantamang yatantascha dridavrata. So great devotees, mahatmas, are those who are always satatam, kirtayanta, always giving glorification, always celebrating the sacred sound. And mam means me. It's the sound of Krishna. And so it's Prahlad Maharaj, who many yugas prior was already engaged in this kind of activity. He lost himself during tiffin hour, you know, during lunch hour, with his friends. He started with his mission of sharing the kirtan culture with his classmates. Kaumara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatani aha. That means that when he was very young, and he was telling his classmates, let's start our spiritual life when we're young, not later on. When you go all over the world, you travel all over the world, you see in religious assemblies, it's usually the middle-aged folks, people going through midlife crisis, who tend to get together into, you know, into a building and call on God for help. And I know that in the West, like Western Europe and North America and perhaps Australia, I'm sure, places like that, the so-called developed countries, the average age of a person going to a religious practice, I know at least in the Christian churches, it's about 68 years old. 68? It's pretty sad, isn't it? But it's Prahlad Maharaj who was making the statement that, let's start now. Let's begin now. And he was just a five-year-old child. And in our culture, we hear about all these, you know, child, you know, boyhood saints. And there's Narada, there's Prahlad, there's Dhruva. We have a whole slew of them who are very inspiring. And it was Prahlad who went through great risk. He knew he was taking a chance. His father was the foremost of the atheists. In fact, he would address his father, "Oh, foremost of unworthy people." I don't know how he got away with it. But, I mean, it's a fact. People talk about terrorism all the time, but it's Hiranyakashipu was probably one of the first terrorists. It's right here. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. So it's been going on for a long time. And he's probably the first child abuser. You know, I mean, and the first deprogrammer. Anybody who was around in the 70s, that was a common term. And so he was number one. Hiranyakashipu, yay, number one, way up there. He got this incredible title for being a terrorist. it is said that Prahlad shone in that family. You know, I mean, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned that amongst the Daityas, it is Prahlad who comes across as the one who stands out amongst all the family, the demon clan. You know? And Chanakya Pandit also makes some statement about that. If you walk through a garden, and it depends on what time of the season you are in, if you have a garden with varying kinds of plants and fruits and so on, like, which is really the way to garden, don't just have one cash crop, but have a mix, have a variety. So when you walk through that garden, something just stands out, the smell. Maybe it's one of the fruit trees or something like that in your orchard or garden. It really stands out. So it's Prahlad who stands out because he manifested all these saintly qualities, whereas his other family members did not. Of course, you know, looking back a little bit, we do have other outstanding personalities in that dynasty, and Bali Maharaj is another one. You know, he also took chances. You know, he defied his guru. His guru, Shukracharya, saying, "I want you not to, you know, give any charity to this cute little Brahmin boy. Don't listen. He's Hari." And it was like, you know, a dichotomy for Bali. Wait a minute. I've learned all along you should give in charity to the Brahmins, and that Hari is foremost. And now my guru is telling me I shouldn't be doing this. So I think I'll go with the initial instructions and forget the latter ones. I'll take a chance. So that's it. People take a chance. Great devotees take a chance. Anybody who pioneered in the Krishna consciousness movement, we all took chances. You know, in communist countries like that, it's like that. I go to Cuba every year, and it's not as severe, stringent as it used to be. But I went with a box. That was this last year. I went with a box of case of Bhagavatam set. And it was meant for the Indian embassy. So I, at the airport in Varadero, which is where all the tourists go, I went to the carousel to get my luggage, and of course the box came first, and I had at least three officials come and look, "What is this?" And they said, "Oh, books. And they couldn't understand a stitch of English, so books wasn't even something that they could comprehend. And then after I got everything on my trolley, my own personal goods and the box of books, then they said, "You come, okay?" So we went to the corner of the, you know, inspection area, and there were five people standing there waiting at the stainless steel, you know, table. And just in front of me was a real nice, you know, young Canadian family there with their child, and they were just under their vacation, and they're asking, what is this? "Oh, this is Cheerios," and this is, you know, all these. They go through their formal questioning. So then it was my turn. I said, "What is this?" And I said, "It's a box of books." "Books? You know, books?" And I said, open. So I opened it, and I was a little concerned that at the top there might be the fifth canto, the hellish planets, and, you know. I says, "Please, Krishna, don't let that." So they open up, and I explain, "Books." So they asked me to take one book out, and I showed them. They looked at it. They couldn't understand the Devanagari. They couldn't understand the English. They flipped through some of the pictures. Of course, I always go in my dhoti and my kurta into Cuba, and people are always asking. I always get questioned more than anybody else. And they ask, "Why are you, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm on vacation. I'm a Canadian citizen. And I'm a yoga teacher. And I come here I have students, and I come here every year." Oh, okay. And they're very apologetic. So now here we have these books, and it has the semblance of propaganda, and they're very concerned about that, right? So I was trying to find the right wording, you know, that would work for these inspectors. I said, "Books, for Indian embassy, in Indian embassy, gift. And then I said, "Books, yoga." "Oh, yoga. I went like this, "Yoga." "Okay." Wrap it up, and I was on my way. So that was like the magic word. So, you know, you take sometimes risks, and I didn't really have any fear, but there are others who have gone, other devotees, predecessors, who have gone to Cuba and other places in the world where it's you are taking a chance. And so Prahlad Maharaj certainly did that, took a chance, and he had all this faith. And when he did introduce the chanting, he was in ecstasy. The word bhavana, which is in the shloka here, means having all these feelings, having all these ecstasies and joy. It's described here that basically he was shy. Shy is a great quality to have. It's one of the 64 qualities of Krishna. A shyness is something that protects you, you know. Fools rush in where angels dare, where angels are shy, you know. So we have to be like angels and be shy about Maya, and don't be overconfident, you know. There's always danger in being overconfident. That's something we have to tell our artists just before we, or just after we've finished a good production, like a good show drama. You have to now, don't get complacent. Don't think you're good and you just because you got all this praise and that now you're going to do okay. Because as soon as that sets in, as soon as you're complacent and overconfident, guess what? That's when all the mistakes start happening. So not having so much confidence in yourself, but rather transferring the confidence in Krishna, you know, in the real powerhouse. And the problem is we think we are the powerhouse. Ahankara. Ahankara, almost the sound of it is like a big demon. Ahankara. You know, vimudhatma. Kartaham iti manyate. So those who are influenced by the ahankara, they actually feel, I'm in charge, I'm in control. I'm a control freak. But it's the reverse. It just means that you are very much under control and you have to be very careful in those instances. Now, you know, that's when you start to slip and slide and fall all over the place. Prahlad Maharaj was having all these feelings while chanting. You know, it's not a matter of just, you know, chanting with caution. When Chankazi made his, sent out his orderlies to hush up the kirtan that was going on 500 years ago, to when the kirtan movement actually started. And everyone was very cautious, you know, because the murdunga drum was broken. Chankazi made this order, and everyone was very shy about, you know, getting out there. But it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who didn't have this shyness. And, you know, he was loud about everything. He was very bold about everything. That doesn't mean to say we shouldn't be smart about our sharing Krishna consciousness. It's mentioned here, in fact, that Prahlad Maharaj was loud. He was loud. You'd think, well, why don't you just be a little bit, you know, go for the soft sell, you know, especially considering that you're in the household of the biggest terrorists of the universe, you know. But he was loud about it. It's just like anywhere you go in India, people are loud, you know. No offense, you know, they're loud. You know, did anybody hear the loud? It's a loudspeaker culture all night long. All night long. And two people are like this, and loud. It says, well, you don't have to speak so loud. But Prahlad, maybe they got the idea from Prahlad. Maybe that's where it all came from. Prahlad was loudly chanting Krishna's names because it's mentioned here in the purport, and I'm sure the acharyas back this up, that he's feeling that maybe he's distant from Krishna, and therefore I must raise my voice, I must project more. And that was the motivation behind it. You know? Prahlad Maharaj didn't have to worry about rudimentary principles in the matter of chanting. He didn't have to worry about the 10 offenses. You know, nobody had to come to hear, Prahlad, you better recite the 10 offenses, you know, before you start your chanting. He was totally above, you know, rules and regulations and policies and so on and so forth. He was above and beyond this. He was on a transcendental nature. And as we know, there's 9 processes of devotional service. He excelled in smaranam, remembering, but it seemed that he had a few other items on the agenda. You know, he was chanting. He was also an expert chanter, and he was also there was another thing that's mentioned here: dancer. Please remember that when we're doing the kirtan mela. Dancing is a big part of it. Lokanath Swami, who I see like a mentor for me in many ways as a padiyatri and person who leads kirtan, he once said to me, to make the kirtan complete, there must be dancing. Dancing. And when you see pictures of the Panchatattva, what are they doing? They're not lying down and, you know, having almonds, eating almond nuts and, you know, relaxing like that. They're up and they're moving around and, you know, and in motion. You know, that's what makes it all complete, right? Hearing, chanting, and of course remembrance falls into place, you know. And isn't it nice when you're in a kirtan and you kind of forget yourself? Does that happen sometimes? I remember, I think it was 3 years ago at the Kirtan Mela, Chandramali Maharaj, whom I love very dearly, he was so much out of himself that he punched me in the face. And he just lost himself. He's always in ecstasy. So, you know, we love to be there. We love to be at the point where I'm not this body. Ahang Brahmasmi. We want to be there. It happens occasionally. And I would say that of all the different functions that we enact, chanting in kirtan and dancing is the one place where you really get lost. You get lost. You can just get caught up in it. And this is one beautiful thing that Srila Prabhupada brought. If we're looking at the list of his contributions, he taught us how to have a good party. Now, everybody knows what are the components to a good party, right? There has to be food. There has to be loud noise, music. There has to be people dance. People exchange business cards, or those kind of things. What else? People are looking for opportunities on the sensual level. We won't go there. What else? What did I miss? What's a good party? Yes. People dress up. Yeah. Exactly. So Prabhupada gave us all of these things and more, and usually it's for free, and you don't have to get intoxicated, you don't have to kill your brain cells, you know, like so many people do, and you're not really taking any chances. It's a very safe situation. How many people have been in a party before you came to Krishna consciousness and a fight breaks out? Does that ever happen? Oh yeah, oh come on. So, that's one of the greatest gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So, in the mood of submission, full surrender, Prahlad Maharaj was demonstrating this, and Prabhupada explains that in the mood of vatsalya, you know, a child's crying out for the parent, you know, help me, I need your help. And usually that's the way it was when you were a baby. I don't know if you can remember that far back. I talk to people and do you remember? I ask people, how far back do you? Can you remember when you were a child? And I have this one, you know, friend, he's in Canada. He said, well, I remember I was a baby and my parents had me, and I can remember this instance. My parents had me in the back seat and they just went for a little stroll, not very far away. And the window was open and a moose came, stuck his head in the car. And it was a bull, you know, with a... And he said, I looked up and I started to cry. And the bull himself he just went crazy and he couldn't get his head out and he just was screaming like this. And he said, that's the first thing I remember from when I was a child. So, if we can, it's certainly natural to come to this point where we can feel like a child. It doesn't matter what is our age, but to call on Krishna to help me. And what kind of help are we asking for? Well, I'm a fallen soul. I'm guilty. I'm a guilty party. I have made many mistakes. So that's why I find it's always a good thing to do every day. You know, pick a moment of, you know, an embarrassment. You want to get shy. You know, feel a bit bashful. Oh, well, look at your past. When I received my second diksha in New Vrindavan in 1974, Srila Prabhupada was saying, do remember, don't forget what you were doing before, so that you can compare it to what you are doing now. You know? So it's a great moment of humility then. It's a great moment to to reflect on. I was such an idiot. I was such an imbecile that I did all these things in the past. So it's a humbling moment. And guilt is a good thing. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, guilt is a component of humility. And that's where we want to be. Because we have done a lot of wrong things in the past. And now, if you're more introspective, and we should always continue to be introspective, you will see that even now, even though I've made my vows and I've been going out the Hare Krishna thing for a few decades, still I make mistakes. Still I'm offending. Still I may, there's spurts of envy, there's this and that, or I feel very offended by just the smallest, the most minutest thing, you know. So we make mistakes, we continue. We continue on this path of error. And so therefore it's time to reflect on the things that I can identify where I made some mistakes in the past. So introspection is a very important thing. On the long walks that we do, people, journalists come by and they ask, you know, why are you doing this walk? And I say it's for introspective walking. It's walking for my health, it's a good workout, and it's also good work in. I have a lot of time to meditate. I have a lot of time to chant. I have a lot of time to reflect. No, which is something everyone, I may not do it on to the extreme, but everyone should be walking, and having time for introspection. So Prahlad Maharaj was, you know, very good in this department of remembrance, smaranam, and he excelled, and he was absorbed. So certain words that are here that we might just look at, he's in full ecstasy. And he just forgot himself. And he became one with Krishna in terms of being inculcating himself into the pastimes of the Lord. You know, maybe that's not an easy thing for us to do. But remembering service, we all have dreams, isn't it? We all have dreams at night. And sometimes they're very bad dreams. And sometimes there's very pleasant dreams. I guess the best dreams you can have is when Prabhupada happens to come into your dream and he's giving some kind of instruction. Or dreams of when you're rendering some service, or you're caught in the middle of kirtan. I've had several dreams myself where I'm just kind of like flying in the temple room during kirtan, and I just feel so light, and people are asking, how do you do that? I don't know, but try it out yourself. So we know that if you're light, you can float like a cotton swab, can be moved by the directions of the wind, you know. But what really is weighing us down is all the sins, all the crap, all the nonsense that we seem to carry, and we wonder, when will it ever go away? You know, when will those things of the past ever, you know, vanish and disappear? And this is where we depend on Krishna again. Because we are not God, and we're not capable of doing everything by ourselves. We depend on the great Vaishnavas, and actually, in many respects, it is they whom we depend on for our salvation. If people ask, do you worship God? You said, well, yes, but there's something else. We worship something else. So what's that? Well, we worship those who worship God. We worship the devotee. So that's what's most sacred in our lives is the Vaishnavas, isn't it? Frankly, God is a very abstract concept for me, you know, on occasion. So therefore I have to look to the devotees for some direction, some guidance. And this helps. So maybe you want to look at your neighbor, you know, look at the person next to you, and say, hey, you're helping me. You know, you want to do that? Just turn around to the guy next to you. Prabhu, you're not doing it. Yeah, just look at this Prabhu here, and look at that person shining, and this is how, you know, we make spiritual progress. That is what we have to identify as the personality that's going to bring me up. Okay, what about those persons who are just a pain in the neck? There are Vaishnavas in any community. You have difficult people, you know? And there are negative people. There are lots of negative people. Our friend Peter Burwash used to say, there are the yeah, but people. Yeah, but. You know, you say something positive. But the better way to look at things is, but, yeah. Yeah, you reverse it, you know? And, you know, I have one of my dearest friends. He's Dharma Prana, a god brother, and he suffered from a stroke years ago, and he can't speak a full sentence. He just can't speak a full sentence. But he can certainly speak. He can certainly use his body language. And as soon as you come through the door and he sees you, hey! You know, he's like... And he can say Krishna. I mean, when he chants Japa, it's like, is that the Maha Mantra? Oh my God. But he's got a language there about, you know, encouragement. You know, encouragement. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was very courageous. And encourage, you know, courage is in the word encourage. And it's just something that, you know, in Kali Yuga, if you were actually chanting Krishna's name in the public forum or not, no, you're being a little bit courageous, because the elements out there are very, very challenging for us, and therefore it's what we resort to. Prahlad Maharaj is an exemplar of chanting, of kirtan, and dancing, and not only that, he taught it to others. He wasn't just caught in himself, but he told his classmates, who were a bit skeptical from the beginning, but who took to it with great relish. So our movement is all about sharing, isn't it? It's about giving out, dishing out, prasadam. There's a few things that we're very good at that we must always remember. The three foremost things. We give out sacred sound, that's chanting. We give sacred food. And we have sacred wisdom. The three things we must always distribute, almost like a trident. You just poke Maya with this. You know, get those things out there. And there are three things that also can make us very strong. And it starts with an S. Starts with sadhana. And then there's seva, service. And finally, there is sangha, association. We end with that. We just have those two tridents, and we're going to be okay. One in each hand. You're going to be okay. Poking the various layers of Maya and the influence of Kali Yuga. So it's 6:59, according to what I've got here. I don't know. Thank you very much. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. And I don't know if there's any questions or room for comments or anything like that, but Ekalavya, you're always there to comment. And you always have good comments. We were talking about
Ahankar.
Being in charge. You have to say it the right way. Ahankar. Okay. Yes.
Being a control freak. That we slip, we slide, we fall all over the place. So, how to recognize when my ahankar is getting inflated and I'm getting into a dangerous situation?
What to do about the ahankar when it gets very inflated? Well, it's actually good to, if you can't detect it yourself because you have a blind spot for yourself, like when you're driving, there's always a blind spot. So, you know, our ego leads us to believe that I'm just great. I'm one of the greatest prize that ever came to this world. When I was born, it was special. So therefore, we keep the company of Vaishnavas who just keep us in check. And that's what one good reason, like when you're a brahmachari, you have guru or you have a senior mentor. When you get married, you have a spouse. They're very good at reminding you of your weaknesses. Very good experts, professionals in the art of putting you down.
Right. When you need to. Of course, a real spouse is somebody who's there to pump you up as well, you know. But good reminders need to be there. So I would say, just for a simple answer, that's what we need. We always need good company. Sangha, I end up with that. Hare Krishna, anything else? Yeah, we have a hand. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. Let's see if it works now. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. We know that the process of bhakti is susukham, or happy, or blissful. And you also mentioned how the moment of guilt and embarrassment can actually help us be humble. But then personally, as a young practitioner, I had moments when I tried to implement this and I was guilty, but that actually made me sad. So what to do about it?
Okay, so you were saying that you tried to reflect a little bit on some of the negative things that you did in your past.
Yes.
And then you got sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you just have to remember to balance things out and just don't spend too much time in the dark. Don't live too much in the past. You have to put a foot in the past, a foot in the future, and definitely very much have 2 feet planted in the ground in the present. Is that possible? I'm talking about 4 legs now. But, you know, we are jugglers. We're supposed to know how to balance things very well. So there, again, I will go back to a mentor, a person who's there, your guide, who said, no, you're thinking too negative now. We have to, you know, we have to jump over into an area of optimism. So again, if a person is negative by nature, it's good to spend time with positive people. Positive people love to help negative people as long as they're not too negative. Because if somebody, one good friend of mine who's a motivational speaker, I asked him once, I said, so what do you do with negative people? And he said, well, negative, that's very difficult. But if they're internal, make them external. That's what we said, make them external. If they're in your circle, you got to somehow or other smoothly make them external. Get them out of the circle. It's an art. But if you are the negative person in your own circle, then you've got to reach out to somebody who can put you into the positive frame of mind. Hare Krishna. And that's about it. I hear the pop, pop, pop. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai Nishinha, Shinishinha, Jai Jai Jai, Shinishinha. Ugram Vira Mahavishnu, Jalam Tam Sarvatomukha. Nishinham Vishanam Bhadra. Mitu Mitu Namamaha. Shri Nishinha Jai Nishinha Jai Jai Nishinha. Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa.
Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa.
Tavakara Kamala Varenatha Adhuta Shingha. dalita hiranyakashipu tanubhinga keshavadrita narahari rupa jai jagadish hare jai jagadish hare jai jagadish hare
avataya kamala vare naka adbhuta singa jayita hiranyakashipu
तब कर कमल भरे नख अद्भुत सिंह दलित हिरण्यकशिपु तनुभिंग केशवधृत नरहरि रूप जय जगदीश हरे जय जगदीश हरे जय जगदीश हरे Shavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jai Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai
Jai Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadish Hare
Hari Ram, 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 श्रीलाल महाराज की
जय।
और भी मनंदे
जय पंचो तत्ता जय पंचो तत्ता पंचो तत्ता जय पंचो तत्ता।